Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Abracadabra, Create What You Speak, with Ilan Azulay, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hello. Hello, and happy Sunday. Shalom lekulam. The Hebrew announcement will follow by an English one. Shalom lekulam, mi shemakshiv, v'mi shemakshiva. כיף לארח אתכם פה וגם לשדר שם בארץ. אז so we're back, and I'm Ilan Azulay, and this is the Abracadabra show, and let's start with something very very unique. Let's grow to some unconditional love with Mati Kaspi.
רק שחלה בתוך זרמי אוויר, מוח הסיבה גבוהה וארוכת צבא, אשר נודדת בין הסתם והאוויר. אולי לכם את קריאותיי אינך שומעת, אולי לכם תהי כמו לילה שעבר, ומי היה ומי יהיה אינך יודעת, אבל האהבה שלי אינה תלויה בדבר. שלי אינה תלויה בדבר, רק שקלה בתוך זרמי אוויר, כמו חסידה גבוהה וארוכת צבא, אשר נותנת בין הסתיו והאוויר. על פני המים פזורות שערותיה, ועקבותיה שבחול עבדו מכבר, ומי היה ומי יהיה אני תמה, אבל האהבה שלי אינה תלויה בדבר. כל כך קרובה, רחוק וממולי, המנסה להיות הבוקר, המזכיר את אתמולי, לא במילים, לא במילים, לא במילים.
What a great groove. What a great groove to start the day with. The song is called My Love is Independent. Independent from any outside factors, any outside sources, outside you, outside myself. And let's see. So Friday, I put out a video, and really I want to follow up on that. And the point of today is, and of every day actually, but let's focus on this, is are you ready to reclaim your power? Are you ready to reclaim your power, your creativity? I'm not talking about power over somebody. I'm talking about your own power. And it's really interesting because I can talk about myself, and I can talk also about other experiences with people that I do work with and clients. And what I do is I'm a spiritual mentor and a coach and a life coach for those who desire to reclaim the power, their own power. And I'm certified in NLP and CBT coaching, and I work through Judaism and Kabbalah concepts. And, well, concepts probably is not the right word. It is more a way of life, like a blueprint. Helping you see, helping you, guiding you into reclaiming your power. But everything starts from a basic point. And the basic point is you. And this is, and when we are in alignment with our own path, with a sense of belonging, with a sense of connectedness, then everything flows. The number here to call, it's also, you can call through probably Skype as well. It's 818-602-4929. 818-602-4929. This is the Abracadabra Show. Create what you speak. Abracadabra in Aramaic. Yes, it's in Aramaic. I all the time get this. Abracadabra is just magic. Poof, and you have a rabbit out of your hat. Well, in a more a concise manner, it's in Aramaic, and it literally creates, it literally means I create what I speak. Before that, as I start always and every day, is this prayer. Hareni mekabel al atzmi et mitzvat ase shel ahavta lereacha kamocha. I accept on myself daily the due command of love your neighbor, friend, person near you, and the same expression that I love myself. And how is it that we are here to reclaim our power? I mean, what does that mean? Where is it coming from? How is it affecting relationships? How is it affecting daily presence, even with in work, at work, or any kind of interaction with others? So if we start from the basic concept of five basic needs, and this is also according to reality therapy by William Glasser, and it's also in Kabbalah and in shamanism and many philosophies that look at our own self-awareness. The five basic needs is the love and belonging, the power, the fun, the freedom, and survival. So when any of these are out of balance, they're out of balance, these are energies, these are perceptions, when any of these are out of balance, then there are issues either in relationships and especially in the relationship to ourselves. So, you know, I had a conversation this morning about about the educational system. And it's interesting because ultimately it goes back to the time of how we're being brought up. You know, we're being born into stories We are being born into stories of our parents, and we are absorbing and accepting what we've been told. We cannot go out of these rules, and we have to accept what is given to us. And at some point of our lives, we either break out of it or try to break out of it. But when we accept these rules, we are basically putting a cap over our own abilities, over our own gifts. Look at it like each one of us come, each one of us is a spirit in a body. Think of a car. The car is our body. Everybody drive different cars. Some of them drive Mercedes, some of them drive Ford. But inside the car, there is a driver. And the driver is the spirit. The driver is what holds, it was makes the car move. Yes, the car has all the tools to move. It has the engine, it has the wheels, it has the brakes, it has the gas pedal, it has the gas, everything that is required for the car to operate. But it won't operate if the driver is not there. The same thing with the body. When somebody is asleep or dead, if you will, or not, all the tools are there. All the particles that allow the body to move and to operate are there. Then why isn't the person not moving? Because the spirit, the soul, the nefesh, the ruach, the neshama, the chaya, the yechida, the five levels of consciousness that we have are what drive this body to move, right? So we are being taught to just accept what is given to us. And the society is you and me and everybody makes the society, but there are those who make the rules. And so in the educational system, I grew up in Israel, and half of my life ago I left Israel when I was 24, something like that. And growing up in that school system, it was a little better than what it is now, but it was all based on competitiveness. Now, our natural state, our most basic state is this co-creation, is this community, is this belonging. This is why we have, if you dig deep inside yourself and you'll be honest with yourself, no judgments, you'll see that the basic need is to be connected, is to belong, is to be recognized, is to enjoy, and is to have choices so you can express yourself, so we can express ourselves in the best way that we can. So at that time, when I grew up, and it's still in this educational system, also here in the U.S., everything is driven by how well academically or intellectually you do. And there was a recent study in Israel, actually, where a company hired only the top achievers academically with the highest grades. And they thought, okay, we will hire them and that will be a great asset to our company. Well, what they discovered was that those people that they hired, while they were academically great, they had no tools to work in groups, to work in collaboration, and to co-create. And this is going back to the basic things that in our childhood that go on and on and on until we come to adulthood and we go into relationships. And so they discovered that actually those that that achieve the higher standards of academia did not do very well. And when they did another round, they discovered that those who did not do very well actually had better tools because they were more true to themselves, but they were frustrated with the system, but they were more true to themselves and to what they can bring. So at that time, there was no acknowledgement to what we have today as far as whether ADHD or ADD is there. People or kids that have different learning abilities. Somebody who is in a class that cannot sit 2 minutes on their tuches, on their ass, they cannot work and they cannot produce the best results for them. So this, I remember when this whole system of No Child Left Behind came up. I mean, the title is great, but it turned out to be completely different. But really the concept is wonderful, is to allow each child to develop with their own gifts, with their own understanding, with their own pace. And the crucial thing in that is giving a choice. So in a competitive environment, there is really no choice. You have to stand by the standards. You have to stand up and to be responsible for these grades. And you have to perform to these grades. And if you don't achieve these grades, then you're no good. And I remember growing up, this was a really frustrating experience. Well, I had good grades. I did not have great grades. And my desire was more in music and working with people and more working with people, more collaborative. And this competitiveness really, to me, didn't make sense. Since I was a child, I was looking at things in a way that today I can look at it and say they were higher than just the physical existence. They were higher than just, oh, let me just succeed so I can get a greater job. To me, life was always more than that. Over the years, and since I've been here and working with different modalities and learning, studying shamanism and Kabbalah and going more back into Judaism and NLP and CBT and a lot of these modalities that really gave me the tools, the access to the tools. See, we all have these tools. We all have this capability of coming to these understandings and to these places of acceptance of who we are and what gifts we have, but we were never given the access to these tools. And so thank God and luckily and gratefully, gratitudely, I don't know if there is such a word, but there is a new word, there are these avenues, these paths to access these tools, because without the access to the tools, nothing would happen. And the access doesn't mean that something external gives us the access to the tools. The external, the environment gives us the nourishment that we need to access the tools, but ultimately it is really us, it is really me, myself, that chooses to go through this path and expand what I already know and challenge the perception which formed my belief and formed my actions based on my belief. You know? And so it starts from there. It starts with this competitiveness that doesn't give you a choice. And so the discussion I had this morning was about these children that in the educational system, that when they were given a choice, they performed much, much better. And they got wonderful results. And the same class of super achievers academically. So it starts there. It starts with the stories that we are born into. It starts with all these stories that cultivate different traumas and situations that happen that lead that kind of leads us to an environment that we choose people that we choose partners that are similar in behavior to those who we grew up with. So I can talk about, I'll give you an example of myself. All my life, my entire life, I had many relationships. And so people ask me, well, how can you talk about relationships and you had so many relationships? And the only thing I can say is without this great gift of being with every single individual that I've been with, I wouldn't be here today and I wouldn't understand all this. And I wouldn't bring it to the understanding. So knowledge is one thing, wisdom is the other, but the synthesis brings the understanding and the choice of what doesn't work for me, what doesn't work for you today. And this, where everything ties into, are you ready to reclaim your power? The power is the self acknowledgement, understanding what works for you, what works for you to cultivate a greater you, to cultivate you from a place without fear of judgment, without fear, period, but without fear of judgment, without fear of being criticized. And this goes all to this competitiveness and the stories that we are brought up into. Now, not everybody experienced, obviously, not everybody experienced the same experience. Everybody has a different story. But if you look at that, everybody has a different story, but there is a silver lining that goes for everybody. We're born with traumas. We're born with traumas from the belly of our mom, from the birth. We're born with traumas through the weaning years. We're born with trauma with, you know, I remember in Israel going on trips, on field trips. Was, oh, I need to go to the bathroom. Oh, find a tree. All right. Well, everything is secret. There is no, it was a very natural state of being. Now, we can't go today and just like, oh, okay, I need to pee, so let me find a tree in the middle of the street. Actually, in Israel, it still happens. It still happens. It was funny. Somebody needs to do something. They stop the car to go out. But this is every society has its own limitations, its own allowances, and so forth. But this comes to the power, to how do I allow myself, how do I allow external forces to affect my reality, or my choices of the reality that I want to create myself. And that contributes to unalignment, to disalignment of different energy points in our body, different chakras, if you're familiar with that term, these vortex energy points that we have in our body. And specifically two of them, the second one is the sacral chakra, the second chakra that that is related to your vitality, to your inner strength, to your power, to your sexuality, to your creativity. That if that is related to the bodily organs of the kidney, liver, intestine. If you have issues there, and your stomach is in pain, and doctors didn't find anything, most of the time it is an energetic release that needs to happen, but it can't happen without deciding to go into these places where you're afraid to go into. So the encouragement since we grow up, and this is these are the access to these tools. The access to these tools is recognizing what do we need to bring ourselves back into harmony. The encouragement, the deciding factor of not judging. You know, the Kabbalah says that if there is a sin, right, the greatest sin of them all is judgment. And it starts with judgment to ourselves. How do we talk to ourselves? And the way we talk to ourselves is how we experienced our environment. If we grew up in an environment that is nurturing, and there are many, we grew up in an environment that is nurturing and encouraging the child or the young adult to express themselves with the best tools that they have and give them the freedom to choose how to express themselves, then you are onto a good start. But we all have this these issues with accessing the tools. So the encouragement, how do we talk to ourselves? The criticism. And this brings all back to how do we love ourselves? And when we love ourselves, and when we love ourselves, how we are, how we look like, how we feel, everything is good. Everything happens for us and not to us. Then we can start loving the person in front of us in the same expression that we love ourselves. And what does that mean? That means that we can allow the person in front of us, we can give them the space to be who they are. It doesn't mean that if this relationship is not good for me, that I have to stay there just because I am with this person and I want to allow the person to be who they are. Two people can be on two different energy levels. Two people can be on two different, and most of the time we are on two different vibration. And so if one person is vibrating on, let's say, vibration level of 10, just for the sake of this example, and the other one is on 2, without, it's not one is good or bad, just different levels, it'll take one person to constantly be like in a coaching relationship, in a coaching relationship where the person is constantly either feeding the fears or the traumas that the person on the level 2 has, to bring the person to some kind of a level. And that is not really a co-creation. There is here some kind of a codependency on both ends. On both ends. Because the person that is on level 2 needs and understands that their need for a relationship needs somebody that is supporting them to grow and to understand and accept all what they're doing because, hey, this is who I am. And the person who is, quote-unquote, coaching needs also that person to be there to need them, to be able to give. But it's a wound meeting a wound. And when we meet many times, we meet through our wounds. We meet through our patterns. We recognize these patterns. So 818-602-4929. We'd love to hear you if you have anything about this. And talking about childhood, it's nice. You know, the childhood is still memories, and it's what brought us to where we are. And there's so much to cover, but in an hour of a radio call, we won't be able to do that. But touch on different points, and these are the aspects that I work with and be happy to be of service to talk about this. So you can reach me on my Facebook at facebook.com/bodysoulsound, and you can send me a message through there. And so talking about childhood, there are the good memories. So here's a song by Shlomo Arzi about the view, the memory view of my childhood.
בנוף הבתים הישנים אשר היו צילי בימי ילדות חלפו הרבה שנים חלפו הרבה שנים נוף הבתים כבר מתפורר וקירותיי נעלמים חלפו הרבה שנים חלפו הרבה שנים בגן העדן של ילדות אשר היה בורח הייתי חלק מהנוף היום אני אורח בגן העדן אשר היה בורח, הייתי חלק מנו, היום אני בורח. וגם העצים המתקלפים אשר היו צילים בימי ילדים כבר נשברו ענפים, קבצה זקנה פתאום. אני הולך ואת איתי וכולם נעלמים, קבצה זקנה פתאום. איזה יום היום בגן העדן של ילדו אשר היה בורח, הייתי חלק מענון, היום אני אורח. בגן העדן של ילדו אשר היה בורח, הייתי חלק מענון, היום אני אורח. בגן העדן של ילדות אשר היה בורח, הייתי חלק מענון, היום אני בורח. בגן העדן של ילדות אשר היה בורח, הייתי חלק מענון, היום אני בורח. בגן העדן של ילדות אשר היה בורח, הייתי חלק מענון, היום אני בורח. בגן העדן של ילדות אשר היה בורח, הייתי חלק מענון, היום אני בורח.
In the landscape, and landscape of trees, in the landscape of my childhood, the trees are getting older. Now I'm flourishing in the landscape of heaven. I was part of it. I was part of the landscape, and today I am a visitor. And this was Shlomo Arzi. It's so fun to be here. I'm sitting in L.A. and playing Israeli songs, songs that I grew up on, and songs that paved my musical way and my musical experiences. And it's and coming back to these actually it started really flourishing in my own perception in the last year and a half, 2 years since I've been in LA. Didn't happen right away, but this is what I was what I talk about, what I'm talking about. Are you ready to reclaim your power? And this is a question, you know, when I say this out in the air, it's a given that I'm part of it. We're all part of it. There is no me here and you there. We're all in the same boat. We're all rowing to the same ocean. Just we take different rivers, different avenues. We're using different crayons. We each came here with different set of colors, with different set of crayons, and what picture can we draw? How do we see that? Do we actually see that red is red, or if we combine red with something else, we'll get a different color? Are we just staying with what we've got, with what we were handed, or can we be creative and trust ourselves, that trust our gut, trust our inner feeling that we are creators? We were created and born in an image of a creator. So we are here to create. We are here to experience abundance. We are here to experience love. We are here to experience giving. Everybody has a different story and a different path of what they are here to experience. 818-602-4929. What do you experience? How do you experience? So throughout my life, I had many relationships, and the relationships that I've invited into my reality, into my presence, were that matched the patterns that I was familiar with. The patterns that I was familiar with growing up, and I didn't have really a guide or somebody that would look over these things and give me the bigger picture, and it was all through my own discoveries. And I grew up in Israel. My dad was the chief of police of Tel Aviv, and my mom was at home. And when I was 14, my parents became ultra-Orthodox, chazur b'tshuva, and they look at their life and decided to take a 180 degrees turn, drop everything that was familiar up until to that point, and choose a different path for whatever reasons that they had. But for me, I growing up with different experiences and different difficulties up until that age, and today I know that these experiences and these traumas or these whatever happened were here to teach me a lot of things about myself, but it took me a while to get there, and so growing up with that environment harsh and harsher, I'm really grateful to the journey and to everything that happened. So the relationships that I've invited to myself were based on these patterns, were a reflection actually of the patterns that I was familiar with on how a relationship, quote unquote, should be. And there was a lot of judgment and a lot of competition, and that's part of how we grow up in this society of competition, and that seeps into relationships. That seeps into relationships, and then there is a break in communication. You meet somebody, and everything at the beginning or on the surface looks hunky-dory, and soon enough, you don't understand what the hell happened here. How come I am with somebody for a few years or a few months or even a few weeks, and it doesn't fly, and it doesn't take off? It's like it's like driving a car with square wheels. It's just like, I ain't going anywhere. It's not going nowhere, this thing. So before even when I work with women or with couples, it's before coming to this place of trying to even understand how to communicate to one another. Yes, there is the solution focused or the reality therapy that we can work and get to understandings of how to work and how the other person thinks. But it's really going into your own self, into your own existence, into your own experiences, and seeing where these things are coming from. Where these things are coming from, what are these things, to recognize, to give them, quote-unquote, a name, to give them an understand, to give yourself an understanding of what is happening. And then when you understand how you acted, how you've been, then you can understand how things translated the way they translated. I can talk, for example, in a relationship that I was in, many relationships, but in one relationship in particular, I was in this place that judgment and criticism was great, was, I mean, not great in, oh, how great it is, but it was a majority, the majority of the relationship. And while it was not something that I desired, inside me, in my true self, in my truth, but this was a pattern that I kept repeating. And that pattern also kept repeating in relation to myself. And so the person that I would attract was of that. It would be a judgmental one. And I have my own thing in cultivating these patterns as well. I had my own things in cultivating these patterns of judgment and receiving judgment. And it seems all, yeah, it's natural. Although it doesn't feel sometimes right, but it is what it is, and it's comfortable because we're familiar with it. We're going based on our structures in our mind that this is how things should have, could have, would have. This is how things should be in a relationship. Right? And so I was in this place where I invited these kind of relationships that on one hand, I was at certain part of the relationship, I was in this place of trying to, or just being this person that elevates the person that was in front of me spiritually, but there was also a need of mine, and the person was elevated spiritually and being able to look at themselves, and then it flipped, and then when that person raised their vibration and came to a different level of vibration, I did not have the tools or the access to the tools to embrace her, to embrace her growth, to embrace her self-recognition, her self-awareness. I did just not have the tools. So what happens in many relationships, just like it happened with mine, there is a block. There is not even a communication method. There is not even an attempt to communicate because we think that we are communicating, but actually we're not. That person is judging. How can you be this, 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 and that? Why are you not doing this and that? And in turn, I don't understand why this person is like that. So it creates from how we grow up, it creates this tear in our ability to see who is in front of us. I remember I used to hate this sentence of when people say, oh, it is what it is. You know, but it is what it is. So is what it is. It's so truth because there is no attachments to anything. What is happening? It just is. Everything else is the attachments that we have to it. Somebody is behaving in a certain way, and then that triggers us. And then we are responding, or many times reacting, to that trigger. And what we are reacting to is something that triggered us, created a movie in our head, and then we are reacting to that movie, to that story that we are creating in our head. That has nothing to do with the person in front of us. So if I triggered something in somebody, in the person in front of me, and she reacts from a place of fear because somebody else treated her in a similar manner, but I come from a different place, then there is projection. There is projection on me, which doesn't exist, and I'm like, why do you project this on me? This is not really something that I have to do with it, but I understand there is a trigger. We trigger one another. We are humans. We're experiencing this human condition. We're experiencing this physical existence that is part of our, this is what it is. It is to take our spiritual understanding, our knowledge, our wisdom, and to manifest it through the body. To manifest it through the body so we can elevate and we can synthesize the body and the spirit, the body and the spirituality, the body that has animalistic instincts, and if you are only concerned about, oh, what car I'm going to get, or am I going to get this car that has the sunroof and moonroof, and you're, and you based your happiness based on that, on whether you're going to get the next, the next car, then this is, again, there is no judgment here, then this is just a stage of being in the physical, expecting something external to make you happy. And that will never end, because once you get that car, now you want the bike. Once you get the bike, now you want the boat. Once you get the boat, now you want this house, this duplex and triplex and fourplex and whatever. It's never going to end. And your truth, your soul, your inner truth desires for much more. That's why the materialistic is never enough. And that's why when we are in these relationships that are based on patterns, we get stuck in this, in this materialistic reaction. And what I call trigger time, true time, it's from the time that we get triggered, from the time that somebody triggers you, until the time, until the moment that you realize that you're being triggered. Now, you get triggered, what do you do? When you realize that you are triggered, this is a good exercise. And if you try that and you can let me know how it works for you, that would be wonderful. I really would love that. Any feedback, anything about what you feel, what you think about what's going on here. When you get triggered, doesn't matter why, you are right 1,000,000%. Doesn't matter why. When you are triggered, you get upset, you get jealous, you get all these, you retract to yourself. You're allowing this egoic self to take over. Anytime that that happens, anytime that you are not in a positive mood, let's put it this way, halt. Just pause. Do something physical that is different. Drink a glass of water. Rearrange, open a book, rearrange it, put something else before you respond. Because if you don't do that, what is going to happen? Somebody got you triggered, you got triggered, boom, you react. It's like a dog. You put a piece of meat on the floor, it's not going to, the dog is not going to think, oh, is this poison? Is this good for me? Is this not good for me? Should I go and take it? Is it spoiled? Is it, goes, the dog goes, he runs. It's a piece of meat. Ah, yummy, mmm. But we're not. That's why we have the speech. That's why we have the understanding. We have the tools. We have the tools to respond rather than to react. So when you get triggered, doesn't matter why, try it even today. Whatever is, just something small. Do something different for a second. That will give you, if you do something that is with your body, you're going to open a book, you're eating something, you're pouring a glass of water, you're actually doing something, you're cutting a piece of bread. It gives you time to stop this thought process of what is happening to you. It gives you time to collect yourself and then to realize the true time, to realize that you've been triggered. So the more you practice there, the time between when you're triggered until when you actually realize that you're triggered will shrink. Where in the beginning it may take a day or even a week sometimes. I know times in the past where it took me a few days to realize that, hey, I just made my own movie and I was the main actor and the actor dies at the end. Well, I don't want my movie to end that way. So I don't want your movie to end that way. So it is recognizing when you're triggered until the time that you realize that you're triggered. That is what I call the trigger time, true time. And it all goes back to how you talk to yourself. Looking at what kind of a relationship are you attracting to yourself. We meet many times through our wounds, just like the examples I gave. We meet through our wounds. If my experience was all the time of being criticized, of being judged, I remember also as a kid, when I would ask questions in school or whatever, you know, I would be sent to the principal office because the teacher did not want to handle these questions. Until I was like, well, don't ask questions, you know. It's not good that you ask the questions in the class, in this class. I remember one of the Torah lessons. the teacher was talking of great God gave the Jewish people all these gifts because we're so special and so unique and so great and so forth. That's what the teacher said. And I remember it was a fourth grade, and I asked the teacher, and I was like, you know, I see all these things that are happening to the Jews all over, and they're being beat left and right from here and from there, and this, and maybe we were given all these because these happened to us, because all this happened to us, because we're, you know, we had all this thing happen, not because we're so great. Maybe the teacher sent me to the principal office to get written up for interrupting the class and for, you know, when questions and where there is competitiveness, it discourages the child or the adult even to have choices. And when we have choices, and I'm not talking about choices of a million channels on the TV, I'm talking about a choice of your creativity, the choice of expressing yourself, the choice of expressing yourself so you can reclaim your power, so you can claim your power, so you can be creative without fear, without a fear of judgment, but just being how you are. And the person that is in front of you, looking at you, and adoring the creation that is in front of him or her. Because you are the perfect creation. And as I like to say about myself, I'm perfect in my imperfections. It is just that. Everything else is a story. I hope that you are in a place where you can take this and internalize that and look at how you talk to yourself. Ask yourself, what is not working for you? What are you not available for anymore in relationships especially? Because all long-term psychological problems are relationship problems. What doesn't work for you? What is not contributing to your own growth? What is not contributing to your own flourishment, to your own momentum, to your own moment of exhilaration, to these feelings of, yeah, I've arrived home, I am here, and I have so much to give to the world. So, with that, I want to put something that I was contemplating whether to put or not, but this is a song that I wrote, and a good friend of mine, Nathan Cohen, made the arrangements and the musical production, and I wrote the words and lyrics, and day after day, I'm like in a dream until I wake up, and I see you, and you is me. And if I'm I because of you, and you are you because of me, then I'm not I, and you are not you. So, you are perfect in creation. You have all the colors to be exactly who you are. Shalom ve'litraot. Bye-bye. Much love. I'll see you next week.
ועוד יום אני חי בתוך חלום ושוקע בתפילה כמו טביעה בים של אהבה יום ועוד יום הזמן איתך קצר כסרט והשקט שברקע נותן מרחב מחיה לקולך יום ועוד יום נזכר שעמדנו מעל המגדל ואלוהים מעל ואיך הירח בכל צבא שמיים עמדו אז נלכת לשם אביר כתוב של האב מה אבקש עוד יום ועוד יום חייך ועולמי יהיה מושלם כמו האלוהים למעלה. מה אבקש עוד? מה עוד אתן לך מחיי? סיפורך על ילד שאותו הכרתי, טלטלים לראשו וחיוכו תמים, ואת הילדה שם את שמך לא ידעתי. יד ביד פסנו והאל גילה לי את שמך. יש עוד יום ועוד יום בזרועותייך בעולמי יהיה מושלם כמו האלוהים למעלה. מה אבקש עוד? מה עוד אתן לך?
Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
Listening to Abracadabra, create what you speak with Elon Azulay, only on LA Talk Radio.